wonderful to see in the scriptures and to sing in our hymn the reproduction of this work, the repetition of this work of conversion and transformation that takes place in the life of everyone who becomes the Lord's. When we begin reading today in Acts chapter, this afternoon in Acts chapter 22, in Acts 18, verses 22 and 23, we see a similar phrase, but with a little bit of a difference. In verse 22 of chapter 18, it really is the end of the second missionary journey. And chapter 18, verse 23, is the start of the third. It just says he spent some time there in Antioch again. We're not told how long here. But as far as the chronology is given, there's no intervening verses. Just one leads right into the next. But here it says that the primary thought was to strengthen the disciples. It's interesting as a comparison that in the second missionary journey, it says twice, at least twice, that they were strengthening the churches, or that the churches, the assemblies, the local gatherings of believers were strengthened. It's very important, as we've commented on, what it is to be among a spiritual congregation of believers, a spiritual assembly, a gathering that is dependent on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And also, not in contrast, but in companionship with that, we find that the disciples themselves individually need to be strengthened. So there's a local aspect collectively, but there is also an individual aspect of strengthening that is presented to us here. And as we would have noticed in chapter 19 and 20, this study focuses on Ephesus. And so we have an opportunity to see now what it is like when the Word of God takes roots in the hearts of those who have turned to Him. What will it be like? What will the work of God in the heart of an individual person and in the heart of a collective gathering of Christians, what will that accomplish? And what does conversion do in the life of believers? What was it that Paul desired to see as spiritual growth? And how is it that we ourselves are displaying that spiritual growth and also seeking to bring it to pass by the help of the Lord in the lives of others as we serve Him?
Might add that as we begin this third study, the third missionary journey of Paul, the closed door that he experienced, that the Holy Spirit closed in the second journey, now opens up to him. He does go to Asia. He does go to Asia Minor and these assemblies there that are established in Ephesus as an example in Miletus. So there is a lesson just in a general way there that closed doors may not always remain closed, but it's just a matter of timing, and it's the Lord's timing. And we can see how Paul is in line with that timing and how he is used successfully to accomplish the will of God when he comes to these regions.
We could notice as the passage in chapter 19 brings us into this, that the believers are identified in chapter 19 and verse 9 as the way. And this is a phrase that is used a few times in the book of Acts. Those who are of the way, already in the time of Paul, it had said when he was Saul persecuting the church, if he found any of that way, that he would bring them to prison and so on. And this helps us to identify what it was like to be a follower of the Lord Jesus as perceived by those who even were just looking on. We've seen various things that were mentioned in the second study, for example, about describing these Christians as those who are turning the world upside down. Well, these Christians were also called the way, or the people of the way. And this indicates to us that there was a complete transformation, a complete change of life, change of priorities. There was a change of arrangement of how life would be lived, because if you were called the way, it was that your life was traveling a different road than everybody else. You were following the one who the Lord Jesus, he had said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And people would observe and notice that this person is one of the way. And so their whole direction of their life, the development of their daily path is different. And Paul experiences opposition, those who speak evil of the way. But we could notice that this, in a way, is a complementary description of believers, that they would be characterized as this, that their lives would be so obviously different that they would be grouped together with that terminology.
Behind that, just again, to highlight, it's important, five times it is mentioned in the book of Acts, the way. And again, using today's terminology, it was a lifestyle. It characterized the Christian. The lifestyle was just different than everybody around them. It was a way of living. That's what it is. It was a way of living that was so obvious that they call it the way. Christianity is not a dogma. It is not only a set of doctrine. It is a transformed life. It styled itself after the Lord Jesus. It displayed itself after the Lord Jesus. And that was the strongest testimony to everybody around them. It wasn't just a matter of preaching, but it's a change of life. And again, we don't want to run ahead, but you see that in Ephesians. These men got saved. And you know what they did with a lot of money? 50,000 pieces of silver, that's a lot of money. They burned that stuff down. That is, speak very loudly about the change of life, not just a matter of speak.
Wonder if we could have some thoughts about why it is that Paul, who does not seem he was forced to leave the synagogue after these 3 months, in verses 8 and 9, he's in the synagogue speaking boldly for 3 months, but some were hardened, spoke evil of the way, and so he departed from them. Many times we've seen that the Apostle Paul has been forced to leave a place or forced to leave the synagogue, but here it says that he determined, as it would seem, the way it's worded, that he decided to depart, to stop reasoning in the synagogue, and he met with those who were interested. He met in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. I wonder if there could be some thoughts about that response to things. Sometimes we're forced to stop a certain activity by unbelievers, by violence, or by resistance. But other times, it may be a spiritually wise thing to just depart. And maybe there could be some comments on that insight.
Let me add to that. I appreciate Steve provoking thoughts all the time. So I'll just kind of trying to give a little hint there. I think when you read those chapters, you realize that there is a little bit transformation there. There is not much emphasis on churches or local assemblies anymore. It is more on disciples. You read that at the only time probably you read he from Miletus, he called the elders of the church of Ephesus. But generally speaking, from that point on, it's a matter of disciples. It is a matter that he strengthened the disciples in chapter 18. In chapter 19, he finds disciples. Then he goes to a school. And what do you do at school? It's not the synagogue anymore. What do you do at school? It is making disciple. It is really important that as this time now, Paul probably towards at the end of his missionary work, because he's going to Jerusalem and from there he's going to be delivered up to the Romans to go to Rome. The truth of God will be maintained individually by those who are true to the Lord Jesus, who are disciples, those who have the discipline to follow him and embody the truth in the life and in their activity. So I think it is fitting that there it's not a matter of a synagogue anymore. It's not a matter of a religious activity anymore, but it's a matter of making disciples. And I think it is fitting to have it at school. I think.